Amen. Good morning. All right, we're going to be in the book of Ruth today. Today's message is called Destiny Decisions, which again, God just blows me away what's going on in the world and the messages that He's been giving me to put together and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as always, you know, we do lift up our missionaries and our military around the world. Right, guys? Amen? So, Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. So we have one verse. We're going to bounce around on this verse. And let me read Ruth 1, verse 1. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So, a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Everybody said amen? You guys understand, I've been putting this message together since I walked off here last Sunday. You know, Monday, and it builds on Tuesday, and then Wednesday night, and then Thursday, and you know, I put it all together. So all this message came together before the news about Israel. I didn't throw this together at the last minute to capitalize on the latest news. Just want to put the devil to rest on that one, right? Give God honor and glory. So the first chapter of the book of Ruth is really about choices. Now, I believe, basically, we are all the sum total of our decisions. I believe that. Our decisions are very powerful in our life. When we're real young, so young folks, listen to this. Your decisions that you make is going to influence your life forever, really. And I understand, yes, that God directs our steps. I get that. However, everybody say however. However, we have to trust Him. We have to be obedient to Him. And then we got to be willing to follow His directions. Okay? This morning I want us to take a closer look at the power of our choices. Now, I'm going to build up on this a little bit, so hang on with me. In the first part of Ruth, we read about a man named Elimelech. Dun, 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 dun. Elimelech. God, I just couldn't resist it. Stephen knew that was funny now. Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons. Now, Elimelech made the decision to move his wife and his two boys to Moab. Now, Moab was the arch enemy of Israel. And they still are today. If you look at the history of that area of Moab, it's what we call today modern day Palestine. And you can see what's going on in the news with Hamas, the militant Muslim fighting force of that wicked, evil, I'm just call it like it is, religion, people, beliefs. And this is Moab. This is Moab. It's right here in our face. Back in the day, the Moabites were obscene, cruel, pagan people. And Moab was a crude and agnostic place. It was a terrible place who had no respect for children, for women, for the rights of most anyone that lived there. Is that sounding familiar? The name Moab is a biblical name meaning, listen to this, a land just short of the promised land. That's what it's called. Now, if you want to do a little deeper study about where Moab came from and all that, I'm not going to get into it right now because we got children in here. So go do a little study on that. It'll give you an idea of the root evilness that was from almost the beginning of time that come up out of this area, this country. However, back in that day, physically speaking, the region was a green, fertile valley. Right in the middle of this serious desert. It was kind of like an emerald in the sand, so to speak. Think about it. It was proof that the grass is not always greener on the other side. So this Israelite man made a decision to leave Israel because of a famine. It was based on what he heard and saw. He moved his family to Moab, this cursed country. He made a real serious decision. And it was a bad decision. It was a decision that marked his life with tragedy. Now, I believe that Amalek made this bad choice because of three basic reasons. If you're taking notes, I'm going to share those three basic reasons with you this morning. Because we need to make sure we don't make these mistakes in our life. Amen? So number one of the reasons that he made this terrible mistake, bad decision, he had the wrong motive. He had the wrong motive. He was motivated by the physical problem that he was facing, this famine. And he was not motivated by spiritual reasons. This was not a spiritual decision that he made. Amalek said by his actions, this is what he said. I know that God has promised to bless me, but I have to take care of myself. I could hear him almost in his strong, manly voice say something like this. I can't just sit around here waiting on God and doing nothing. I got a wife and children to support. You see, he trusted in his own thinking. He trusted in his own reasoning. He trusted in his own feelings. And he trusted in his own eyes, what he saw. Totally against Scripture. Totally against Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And we all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here it is again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you look up that word heart in the Hebrew, guess what it's talking about? Your soul. Which is what? Your mind, will, and emotions. So here we go again. The Bible's telling us trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, see, Amalek trusted in his own thinking, his own feelings, and his own behavior. I decided to go here. So he decided he was going to go there. So he didn't do anything about trusting in the Lord with all of his heart. And it goes on to say, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. You see, guys, waiting on the Lord involves the confident confident. Everybody say confident. That confident expectations, which is placed in a great hope, and the hope and the assurance that God has our back, that God is looking out for us. Those who do not know the Lord will not wait on Him. You can be saved and born again, got your fire insurance, and not really have a relationship with the Lord. Not really know Him. Because if me or you is not spending time in prayer, not spending time in Bible study, not spending time and hanging around other believers, so that our relationship with the Lord can grow, become mature. And you can actually be a person who really doesn't know God. And it's going to be difficult for you to hear His voice. It'll be difficult for you to have a relationship with Him and trust Him. You can be saved, going to heaven, for sure. And unfortunately, that happens to a lot of Christians. We must be confident. We must be confident in who God is and what God can do. 1 John 5:14 says this, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." The psalmist in Psalm 40, 1 through 3. Let me read it to you. Everybody still with me? "I waited patiently for the Lord." Did you hear Him? "I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." Thought about Mary's picture on Facebook. "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our people. Many," everybody listen. "Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." So what this is telling us here, okay, is that as we're waiting on the Lord sometimes in our life, we're being patient at work and we're not stressed out and we're not worried, we're waiting on God, we're trusting God. The people around us who see us and watch us, the Bible here is clearly telling us that we're a testimony to them of waiting on God, that God's real. We believe that God is real, and He's going to come through for us, and He's going to help us, and He's going to give us direction. And as a result, those people may give their life to God and trust in Him. Amen? Number two. He made this crazy, bad mistake because the wrong method. The wrong method. Amalek is waiting and walking, not waiting, he is walking by spirit. Holy, help me out, Lord. I'm still thinking about Israel, y'all. I apologize. He's walking by sight, and he's not walking by faith. He saw a famine, and he hightailed it to that crazy country called Moab. You see, really? He tried to just run away from his problem. Pack up everything, gather up all of his marbles, and go. He tried to run away. And he took his whole family with him. In Psalms 55, the psalmist who wrote this kind of was thinking the same way. I'll quote it. It says, "Oh, if I only had wings like a dove, then I could fly away and be at rest." Listen, my friends, God doesn't want to give you the wings of a dove so that you can fly away to a peaceful place. He wants to give you the wings of an eagle to soar over your problems right where you are. You're not a turkey pecking around the ground like a stupid chicken. Right? You're an eagle born to soar in the sky and be free from the bondage of sin and slavery and worry and guilt. Don't get trapped in acting like a turkey when you really are an eagle. There's royal blood flowing through your veins. God said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And that we really, really can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? Number three. He's the wrong master. You have the wrong master. You see, when he made the bad decision to go into Moab, he went over into the enemy's territory. You can't dance with the devil. God had placed a curse upon the Moabites. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, this is what it says. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. This man got his family over into the devil's territory. It's a huge mistake. His two sons even married the daughters of Moab, and his entire life was messed up because he would not believe and trust in God. Please listen. Listen to what the Lord is telling all of us this morning. Now I know that, and you guys know this too, most of the time, our wrong choices bring bad and negative consequences. Right? Amalek's wrong choices actually brought death. It says in verse 3 that Amalek died in Moab. Now the ironic thing is he was trying to get out of Bethlehem, thinking he wasn't going to be able to survive there. He ends up going to Moab and dies anyway. And, sad, his boys died there. You cannot run away. You cannot run away. An old saying that we have in my field, drug and alcohol counseling, is guys will think, well, I can just run and go to Texas. I go to Missouri. I go all to a whole nother state. They'll run away from all their problems and all the bad people and all their negative friends. Guess what happens when they get all the way to Louisiana? There they are. And they are the worst problem. Not the old friends. Not the old playgrounds. No matter where you go, there you are. Amen? That applies to all the areas of our lives. Social, physical, financial, right? Leave that one alone. So, here we have his wife, Naomi, and her two daughters-in-laws, and their widows in Moab. Now, we also know this, that most of the time, when we make wise choices, we'll get positive and good consequences. Do y'all agree with that? Qualify it with most of the time, right? Now, I'm beginning to close here, so I want to give you a good biblical example of the power of making a wise choice. So Naomi hears the blessings back in Bethlehem, and she decides to go back. Most of you know the story, okay? So hang with me. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Here we go. Ready? It says, then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people and Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. Now, you got to understand, Naomi and her husband, they were backsliders, as we used to like to call it in the Baptist churches, right? They were backsliders. They fell back. But now she had made the decision to return back to her homeland, which was being blessed by God at this time. So her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, decided to go with her. That's cool. For whatever reason, Naomi tried to convince them both to stay in Moab. And they all had a big cry. I'm trying to cut this short. They all had a big cry, and they cried together, and woo, and all that. And Orpah decided that she would stay. And Ruth decided that she would go to Bethlehem with Naomi. Now, here is the wise decision that changed her life. You ready? Ruth chapter 1, 15 through 17. It says, look, Naomi said to Ruth, look, y'all look at there. Could y'all look at there? Look over there. Hey, look. See? Look. That's what she said. She said, look, look. Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. Wow. What was she thinking? But then Ruth said this, and this is the power right here. This is the power right here. Ruth said this. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Guys, that's a big decision. That's a huge decision. That's an awesome choice. But that right there is a decision. I made this decision. And when Naomi realized this, that Ruth was really determined and she was going to go with her, she didn't say anything else about that. When Ruth said this, her life was changed forever to include generations upon generations upon generations. And Ruth had so much against her, didn't she? She had so much against her. I mean, she come from a cursed people, a cursed life. You see, the law said, keep her out. But what the law could not do for this woman, grace did. God's grace worked in her life. And honestly, God's grace has worked in our lives. We were all trapped in a sin. We were all doomed. And God's grace worked in our life. And His grace is sufficient for me and for you. Did you know that, some of you know this, that Ruth, this pagan girl, actually became an ancestor to Jesus Christ. Her choice changed her destiny completely. And your choices this morning could change your destiny. If you're young in here, it could change your entire life. It could change who you meet to marry. It could change everything in your life in a positive direction. It can keep you from making major mistakes. Changed our destiny. We too must choose God's way and trust our destiny to Him. Do you know Jesus this morning? That's who we're all talking about. That's what we're talking about. Do you know Jesus this morning? And I'm not talking about playing religion or none of that mess. I don't like religion, to be honest with you. I tell my folks all the time, I'm not a very religious person. You see what religion's doing over there? But I do love Jesus. He's made a huge difference in my life. So, if you want to get to know Jesus this morning, we call that becoming born again, saved. Where your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you become a citizen of heaven and actually adopted into the family of God. If you'd like to do that this morning, I'd like to pray with you. You can come down right now to this altar. Amen. If you'd like to, you can sit right here in your pew and I'll pray with you. So everybody bows your head and closes your eyes. If you're here this morning or sound of my voice and you'd like to get saved, you'd like to make sure you're going to heaven, I ask you to pray this with me. Just pray it to yourself. God, the best way I know how, I give you my life. I place my faith in Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection. God, I repent of my sins and I turn from my wicked ways today. And I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen.